We'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and I'm here today with co-host Austin to kick off the next month with a new theme of compassion. This month, we have a new tool in our Heart Leader Toolbox. It is the Compassion Calisthenics, where we get to work out those compassion muscles and really get in touch with our own inner compassion. So today, we are going to dive deep into a discussion about what is compassion? Because in all of the courses I took in this subject, it was sometimes difficult, even in psychology and counseling, and even talking in a scientific term about what compassion actually is. And so we want to make certain that in our discussions, at least we have a strong basis for what we mean when we talk about compassion. And that's where we're going to start here. Yes. So from my perspective, when I'm talking about compassion, it is in multiple categories. So when I think about compassion, it is a connection point internally and externally to the observation of what one might call suffering or discomfort or just something occurring in our experience that may not be beneficial, and a desire to do something about that. Like, it invokes something in me that means that I desire to do something about that situation, either for myself or for others who are in that position. Like, I feel that connection and that knowing that something can be done and let's do something about it. And then to take some type of action step or some type, even if it's just sending love and sending energy, because that state that is occurring may help them grow as they move through it, but at least I can pray for them or send them love or encouraging words as they're navigating through it. But it starts with the recognition that something is occurring, then the desire to do something to help, and then the action to actually do it, whether that's an actual physical action or an emotional action or an energetic action. And then taking the time after that to reflect and understand, what did that do for me? How did I grow from that so that I can do something in the future should that ever arise again? Be more prepared and maybe navigate through it at a quicker pace. Mm. So when I talk about compassion, that's where I'm coming at compassion from.
Love it.
Do you come at compassion from any different perspective?
Yeah, I love how comprehensive that was. It was amazing. It's just so you. It's perfect. It's amazing. You know me, very practical. And I feel like slightly different, but everything you just said.
Boiled down,
yes. And I'm going to say this because I feel like I learned it from watching you. To me, compassion is embodying love. And maybe one of the things that said, like, so if I want to be compassionate, it would be like, what would love do? So this could be like a WWLD.
I like it.
What would love do? And compassion is like the embodiment of what love would do in that situation, whether that's towards yourself or towards another or a group of people. Just like you were saying, I think that there's so many ways to show compassion. And, you know, we see it a lot, like especially with some of the things going on in the world right now. A lot of people are experiencing some form of difficulty. You know, and there's probably a lot more words than that. But you see people donating to help people from that they'd never, you know, that they would never know or never see. You know, that's what love would do. You see people, you know, being maybe a little extra nice, or just even little things like opening the door for someone, just because, you know, that's what love would do. And, you know, it's been a difficult, tough last couple of years for most of humanity. And so I think to some level, people are seeking to reach out as that way of like showing how almost like, how can I be human?
Yeah.
Like, how can I show my humanity to other humans? I can do that through compassion.
Yeah, I like that. Because ultimately, compassion is a way to connect, right?
Yeah.
If we don't hold compassion toward ourselves in those challenging moments, and we're so busy beating ourselves up, then it's really hard to hold compassion toward another individual. But sometimes in order to hold compassion toward ourselves, it has to start with holding compassion toward other people.
Right.
So as much as we always say it starts within, sometimes in order to get to that place of beginning within, we take steps outside first, because it's easier to start there and have that recognition. And we can start to say, well, if I'm willing to treat somebody else that way, but I'm not willing to treat myself that way, then what do I need to do to shift that? So if I'm willing to hold space for someone and give them advice if they're going through a hard time, and I would tell you, like if you came to me and said, I just did something really stupid, and you're being hard on yourself about something that isn't bad at all. Like I deleted an email, a work email that we really needed, and now I can't get it back. And I'm so stupid. I can't believe I did this. Then what I would tell you is, don't worry about it. There's nothing that can't be fixed. We'll figure it out, even if what we have to do is reach out to the person and ask them to resend the email. There would be no anger. Definitely doesn't make you stupid. We all make mistakes. But if I were in that position, would I treat myself differently in that situation and not hold compassion for myself for the fact that I made a mistake?
Yeah.
And so I would need to sit with that and ask myself, okay, I can hold compassion for you and know that you just made a mistake. You weren't out to get us. It was a mistake. But if I would beat myself up for a week over something like that, well, then I have a growth opportunity. So what can I do to get to a place where I would treat myself at least as well as I'm treating you?
I love that. I mean, that's such a key aspect of compassion. I feel like the reason why that's also important is because that can help us, for lack of a better term, scale our compassion.
Yeah.
Because the more compassion we start to have for ourselves, the more compassion we can actually share with others. So it becomes this beautiful cycle of love. When we look at the word compassion, passion is a huge part of that word. Yeah. And when you think passion, what do we think? We think love. And so the very core of that word is love based. And when I think about the first part of the word, I think community. So we have community and passion put together to create compassion. Well, then it's basically creating itself, because that is what a community does. They help each other. They help each other grow, and it's in love and connection.
I really like that. So, like, a community built on love has compassion for self and everyone.
Exactly, just like we're seeking to do.
Yeah. And that's the whole flow. And in so many studies, it has been found, and we talk about this throughout the tool actually for this month. It has been found that that people who hold compassion for themselves, who realize no matter how hard we strive, we were built to not be perfect. Like, that's the whole point of this experience that we're having, is to not be perfect. And people who are willing to engage in that and embrace that fact and be like, oh yeah, I know I'm going to mess up sometimes, and that's okay. I actually enjoy, like, I don't set out to make mistakes, but I enjoy the opportunity of learning and growing from any mistake that I make, and I can positively talk myself through them. So building that positive self-talk. We talk about it time and time again. That's why we've partnered up with Self Pause, that positive affirmation app that we talk about, because we can have those positive reinforcements, have that positive self-talk that helps us then when we do, mess up, which is part of the experience, and then be able to have compassion for ourselves and go, okay, well, I don't desire to do that again. It's not like I'm going to be a repeat offender in this way, but now I know what the outcome of doing that action or that choice is, and I can do something different in the future. I've now walked that path. I know where it leads. Let's just back up the bus and choose a different way. And so, just the studies alone of the self-talk, positive self-talk, let alone the ability to use positive words for others, because we do tend to have a little harsher language sometimes toward each other. And so, if I'm willing to call myself stupid, how quickly am I going to be willing to call you stupid?
That's a great point.
Right?
It's a very great point. I feel like that leads again to, what would love do? Love wouldn't call someone stupid. They would maybe have patience. They would be there to support, help, guide, whatever's needed in that moment that is an embodiment of love, care, help. There's so many other words that can be used. And so I feel like just this continue, what would love do would be a great question to ask if one is seeking to bring more compassion into their life before they do something. If you can have a conscious awareness of what can I ask myself if a situation arises, what would love do? Well, I think then you would notice that whatever action that is would be a compassionate act.
I agree. And we talk about being conscious of things. I know in so many podcasts, we come back to that being mindful, being consciously aware of our actions in the present moment. And just that step alone takes a lot of practice. And for many people, and we've heard this from folks, we've heard it time and time again, how do I even get to that step? How do I even get to the point where I can be consciously aware of my actions in the present moment? Because I am still feeling what just occurred. Someone triggered me previously, or I have so much that I need to do in an hour or a day or in a month. So I'm so focused on what's coming up that I'm either back there or ahead here. And so being consciously mindful of what's happening in that moment isn't the easiest thing to do. That's actually probably the most challenging part of this personal development that one could find. And so part of what I would like to talk about today is, okay, so how do we do this? Not in a, okay, so meditate and practice mindfulness. Like, those are all wonderful and they are amazing, amazing tools. But if you're in your office or you're driving your car or, you know, you're with your family, you may not necessarily be able to practice all of those things in the moment. So what are things that we can do that bring us more fully present in the moment during those times so that we can engage compassion when we're at the workplace and either our coworkers or our boss or like there's all this pressure coming at us and we desire to hold compassion, but we've got deadlines that we have to meet or we're thinking about the fight we just had with our spouse or our partner or our kids before we came in. How do we stay present enough to hold that compassion and not go forward or backward? Do you have any tools or tips that you would offer right out of the gate?
It's a great one. I'll continue to reiterate asking the question, what would love do?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's a byproduct of a bigger one. That's being present as much as possible. Because a lot of the things that, well, really anything that happens in the past isn't in the present.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those things that may be piling up and piling up, if we truly are present, then we realize that that's not going to, that doesn't have to change how we act now. And so the more present we are, the more that we have the clarity to start asking ourselves a question like, what would love do? Or how can I be compassionate? How can I be compassionate right now? Or what can I do to help myself and those around me? There's so many versions of compassion that we can embody and choose to embody. But I feel like we are innately love. And so compassion is going to be a natural byproduct of our doing. So the reason why I'm saying present is because when we are present, then we tap into our being. And when we are focused on our being, then the doing follows suit. And that doing will be one focused in love. That love can be then very compassionate, however that is needed.
To get present in order to have that flow. I know you talked about in a previous podcast, you used to wear a rubber band on your wrist and flick it in order to bring you back into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a tool that someone might be able to use. Mm-hmm. Plus, it just makes everybody wonder what in the world you're doing, and it might make you the most mysterious and interesting person in the room. And we've also mentioned breath practices
mm-hmm.
are another way to mm-hmm. bring you back into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as and unnoticeable, right?
Yeah.
You could do breath work with your eyes open and simply breathing into your stomach, then your chest, then into your throat, and then releasing it the same way. But just that focus of, okay, I'm going to inhale into my stomach, then into my chest, then into my throat, and then I'm going to mindfully release out of my stomach and then out of my chest and then out of my throat. You have to concentrate on that and you have to feel your body and you really have to focus in that moment in order to make that happen. And that connection with your body really pulls you back into that moment. And then from there, you've oxygenated your body, you've relaxed your body, you've brought your mind back into the present moment, and it's easier then to move forward from that present moment, and that invokes compassion in a much easier way. You can ask that question or any of the questions, like what would love do, or how can I be more compassionate in this moment? How can I hold space? How can I seek to understand what's going on instead of presuming that I know what's going on? Because presumptions can really create entire separation from the actuality when we presume we're forecasting into the future versus seeking to understand in the present moment.
Yeah.
So there are little practices. For me, it's music, oftentimes. I love music. It's part of like my soul calling. I love to listen. I can't sing. I am not the most blessed at singing. I am capable of singing. It's just not something anybody would want to listen to on a regular basis. So, you know, but it doesn't stop me from turning on music and connecting and just being in that moment with the music. So we all have to find what pulls us back into the moment, because it's going to be different for all of us. A willingness to be transparent with ourselves, which was last month's, and say, all right, so what does bring me back? For you, you have multiple different things that bring you back: music, golf, breath work, the rubber band. And so it's good to have a cycle of things, right? Because you can't go out and play golf every time you want to be present in the moment. So a rubber band is a great way, or breath can be with you anywhere you go. So take the time to find the tool that's going to help you be present in that moment.
Right. What I feel like I'm the bigger picture I'm getting from what you're saying is, in essence, that tool is an act of compassion for ourselves. And so, as we always, you know, like attracts like, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, as we were talking about earlier, is that when we choose to be compassionate to ourselves, then it is only natural to then be easier to be compassionate to others. And so I love that when that is the intention behind the tool, is to... Anytime we become present, it really is a form of compassion to ourselves. Because the present, not to be cliche, but the present, you know, they say the present is a gift, right?
Yeah.
And it really is. And so, again, that's us. When we are focused on the present moment, it's so easy to be in admiration, in gratitude. All these are words of love and connection. And, you know, if you do desire to feel very spiritual or religious about it, then the way that I would personally present it is that for me, it feels connected to the divine. And so when I do access the present, I feel closer to that divine love energy that's connected to all things. And then I feel like I'm not alone. I feel like I'm a part of this incredible amount of love that's within everyone and everything. And so I only desire to act in that way that would enhance and lift that type of energy and that type of connection and build upon it.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought up religion, because I feel like in this topic area, religion and tradition is a really important one to talk about, because they talk about compassion a lot. But in practice, and I participated in it, the reason we are an all faiths church is because we find the value in every faith and every tradition. There's so much beauty in all of them, and we can learn so much from each other. But we have to hold compassion for each other in order to find the value in each other. And I have been part of many of these paths where not the religion or the tradition itself didn't hold compassion for other faiths, but those who were involved in them did not hold compassion toward other faiths. And I think it is important to differentiate, because the system itself wasn't what created the separation. It is how the system is used or integrated into, or just like anything, a tool can be used as a weapon at any point in time. And so the moment a belief system, a faith, a religion is used to withhold compassion and create separation and even place one above another, then we create disharmony. And when we begin to really dive into the systems and the structures themselves, and we realize that the root of nearly all of these major religions, all of these major traditions, it is what you talked about, which is love. Mm-hmm. The seed and the core of all of them contains love. Love is and does contain compassion. Then we get back to that, I'm not better than or worse than anyone else. I'm choosing a different path up the mountain, one that fits for me. And I honor whatever path you're choosing. And I will always hold compassion and care and will always walk with you if you need me to for a little bit while not giving up what I believe in as well. And so then it becomes coexistence through compassion. Instead of feeling like we have to fight each other in order to prove that we're better than, or that there is only one way, because there's never only one way. We are in an infinite universe with infinite possibilities that would never say there's only one way.
Right. You know, many of us are willing to be multilingual. Why don't we have that approach to faith? Just because I was born and grew up speaking English doesn't mean I can't learn Spanish, French, Chinese, all these beautiful languages that are around the world that people express love through. It doesn't have to be the exact same thing that I learned how to do. What's beautiful about each one of these languages is that they have a word or some words or forms of love, but how they use it and how they express it is different. Doesn't mean the one in English love is better or worse than any of those other words. So why are we so willing to accept amor and love, but not so willing to accept two major faiths? Or two belief systems, or more. Yeah. In the end, it's just communication and interaction and connection, which is exactly what compassion is all about. Communication, interaction, and connection. Yes.
And they're all there, everything, whether it's faith and religion, or, you know, the connection between two people, all of it is there to help us understand ourselves better.
Right.
If we're willing to utilize it in that way, right? And it's not from an egocentric, oh, it's all about me. It is from an opportunity and growth perspective. Mm-hmm. Because I am unable to change you. Mm-hmm. That is a choice you would have to make whenever the time feels appropriate for you. And as long as I come from that space of love and honor and compassion for whatever choice you make, then the bond will always continue to grow. But I do have direction and choice over how I incorporate any experience I have. And so I can choose to take anything that comes at me, whether it is understanding religious traditions and flows and connotations, or whether it's friendships, relationships, any exchange that occurs in there, or my studies through colleges and universities or certification programs, any and all of it, I can take it and I can incorporate it and always turn the question to, what can I gain from this, even if it's, I now know what not to do.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's always at the forefront of my personal mind. It's never from a place of judgment and never from a place of I desire to change someone else, because I don't know what your relative perspective is, right? I don't know what that means for you in your life's journey. So if I attempted to change you, I don't know what impact I would be having on where your life is meant to go. But I do know where I'm coming from. And I know what I can do with anything I'm gathering.
Absolutely.
And if we come at it from that, then compassion's easy to have.
Yeah. To your point, it's not related on anyone else. It's not an external. Compassion is an internal expression that needs no response. You can still be compassionate to another person without them having to be it to you. Doesn't make it. It's not saying it's easy.
Oh yeah, no.
And that's
a great growth opportunity when it's not coming back.
It's not coming back, but that doesn't have to determine my way of my compassion or choosing to be less compassionate because someone else is not being compassionate.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's such a unique perspective, and that's really what love is too. You can still choose to be loving or love someone else without them having to, you know, return that in the exact same way. That's not what it is.
Yeah. And I know, having come up through multiple different traditions and belief systems, there was often emphasis put on the leadership of that. Like, oh, those who love unconditionally are the heads of the organization, the guru, the priest, the rabbi. And again, no disrespect, these individuals are amazing light-filled beings, and I have the utmost honor and respect for them. But they are all showing each person what is possible for each of us. And so it is possible for every one of us, every person, to be like that guru, to live life daily in that same way, or like the rabbi or the priest or, you know, whomever it is that we see in that position where they are consistently holding that loving space for others. They're setting the example so that we can see what is possible, not so that they're in some exalted space and that's unobtainable. That is attainable for them, therefore it is attainable for us. And so now let's do the things that they do so that we can get there. And I know you had talked about the example part for you, being able to see it in daily life. It helped you understand what could happen for you. And I think it is important for us, from not only compassion, but an overall standpoint, like, to start to realize that we can all choose this for ourselves if we choose it.
Right. To your point of example, I feel like you helped me understand compassion at a deeper level because of the way that you approached compassion. You live this way. This isn't everything you're saying is the way you actually live. It's not just lip service. And I truly appreciate that. I mean, that's one of the most, my favorite things about being a witness of you. And I'm just lucky I get to see it a lot of the day, a lot of every day. It still inspires me. But, so you and I are both vegan. And growing up, I was obviously not vegan, and I had met some people who were either vegetarian or vegan, and I never had like a really bad experience, but I've definitely heard some interesting stories. But the consensus, if you will, on it was that there was, to some level, people who would approach it who were vegan or vegetarian and attempt to put the people who weren't down. It was that air, like almost a pedestal, or that air of superiority. And that's what I appreciated, how you brought it forward. Because you never showed that to me. You always held space for exactly where I was. You never made fun of me. You never guilted me. You never put me down. All you did was just show how that your choice of what you put into your body is an extension of the compassion you have for all things, including yourself. Well, yeah, it clicked. If the goal of being, for example, vegan is compassionate, then why isn't someone who's vegan being compassionate to people as well? Aggression, whether that's in the form of killing or, you know, physical or verbal, still aggression. And putting other people down or yelling at them or making them feel less is not compassionate to me. So I always found that very odd and apt. You know, it's if you do desire to invite someone into maybe how you see the world or in some way, it's we've explained over, you know, humanity has seen over thousands of years that forcing it is not the way.
Yeah.
It's not going to last. And if you truly desire to be an inspiration, not to change others, but to inspire others to make a choice on what may fit for them, which may also align with you or some level or very close to. But you do it through love. You do it through compassion. You do it through lifting someone up to invite them into, hey, this is a beautiful thing. It's changed my life. You know, maybe it may change yours. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a loving, that's a much, and that's how you approached it for me. And so I felt invited into this. I felt like, yeah, you know, you're right. If my goal is to be a loving being, my goal is to be compassionate, then it's important for me on a conscious level to be fully aware of how I'm doing that body, mind, emotion, and spirit. Well, eating is something I do every day. It is an act. And I would like it to mirror how I choose to be. And so, therefore, it aligned. There's many other reasons as well, but that was a very strong one. And so, there's so many ways we can do that mentally, emotionally. You know, it's like you were talking about self-talk. Well, that's a great emotional way to have positive self-talk, create affirmations, since you were talking about. Well, that's a great tool. Just like for me, eating vegan is a tool for me to for compassion. Self-talk, positive self-talk is a tool for compassion. Allowing myself to release emotions so that they don't become my identity. I allow myself to feel them and then move through them. That's a form of compassion. And spiritually, seeing the divine in everything and everyone around me. Not a place from ego, but from a place of love sees love. That's compassion.
Yes. And I like that you say move through emotions. We talk about this quite a bit. Instead of getting over them or, you know, all the other things that we'll sometimes say, just ignore it, let it go. We have to move through them because they inform us. And then unless we want them to become part, as you said, of your identity or part of our energetic pattern unintentionally, moving through them, feel the feels, as we say, right?
Yes.
You got to feel the feels. You can't suppress it or pretend it's not there or tuck it away in a corner. Mm-hmm. Because that lends to the mental health of who we are as a being. And that's, again, having compassion for yourself. Go through it. It's not defining you. It's informing you. And when we can look at it that way, instead of saying, oh, I feel sad for a day, that's defining me, I'm now a sad person. It's not defining you. You're sad for a day because something has created sadness within you. Get in touch with it. What has created sadness within you? Once you can identify it, then you can do something about it. But if you just go get over it, then that hurdle is still there and it's just going to come back to you again and again and again until you do look at it.
Right. And although compassion may show as an action, it's invoked from a feeling.
Yeah.
The feeling is what sparks the action. And so if we're just so willing to just get over or not even experience feelings, the ones that spark love may be overlooked. And then what are we missing? And so we have to be willing in a form of compassion to ourselves to feel whether they're the difficult ones or the amazing ones. They're part of the experience to help us understand who we are. And through that, then we can move through them into an action that is beneficial.
And if there's anyone who's like watching this and feels like, well, I just don't have anyone that I can even practice compassion with, that I feel safe enough to be vulnerable, transparent, and practice compassion with, that's really the point of the community that we're building. The like-mindedness, the desire to have these connected, compassionate conversations and really be there for each other. So they can always reach out through any of the avenues to reach us. And if it isn't one of the two of us, which we do, we personally answer a lot of messages. But if it isn't one of the two of us, it'll be a member of our community who they, you know, anyone can practice with safely in a non-judgmental way, because mental and emotional health is so vital to our overall well-being. And everyone should have someone to talk to and to practice these things with. And that's our goal, is to really create this movement of love where we have this safe space where we can make mistakes and then have someone lift us up and be like, that's okay. That was that choice. Now let's practice it again. And you know how that one felt, so let's do something else.
That's a great point. And what I feel like you're describing really is about what it means to be a heart leader.
Yes.
And yes, it could be someone in a community who's actually leading a community or a portion of the community, but it does stem with the self. How am I leading myself? And so, you know, it does, I'm going to bring up emotion again, because I do feel, you know, love is, it is an energy, but we feel it, like we don't think love, we feel love. And we don't think emotions, we feel emotions. And then from those, that sparks that action. And so why is compassion such a key attribute of being a heart leader is because we start to act from the heart. We're leading from the heart, which then allows our actions to follow suit. And so, you know, every month, each one of these themes are part of what it means to be a heart leader. But this one just, you know, it has that little extra spark. And they're all vital. You can't, you know, have it, they all interconnect and they all integrate. But I feel like now more than ever, people in this world have the capacity for a greater sense of compassion. Because there have been multiple things in a row now that affected all humans in some way, shape, or form. And that can be physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually at all levels. And so we can actually relate, even though we may not have gone through the exact same thing. We may not, you know, some of us are affected far more than the other. We can still have compassion and understanding because we can start to see each other as another human, not just other.
Yes.
We're dehumanizing, I feel like, is starting to fall off the table. Because, again, love sees love. And when we are all love and we have the capability of love, then compassion is innate.
Again, it goes back to not needing to put one above another. Mm-hmm. That we are all human, having the human experience, having compassion for that human experience. Now, will there be times that some need to step into a leadership role? Of course. I mean, that's going to happen. Skill sets just lend to, all right, in this situation, this individual or this group of individuals are more attuned to leading in this capacity. But then things may shift and those individuals may not be the best to lead. So if ego is what's driving us 100% of the time, then we may not have the best individuals aligned in leadership positions. But if we have the human experience and that balanced along with our knowing of self, then leaders can just emerge naturally. And so if the next best group of leaders is actually this group over here, then they can step up and step in and be the ones, and this group can step back and go, okay, I recognize that's not my skill set. And I'm okay with that because it isn't about me in this moment. It's about we in this moment. Mm. And step back and allow the group that is best suited for leadership to step in. And that's when we start to begin to understand how to effectively work as one instead of hierarchy, right? That coexistence where there will be leaders. There will always be those who need to lead. It's just experience by experience, space by space, understanding skill set by skill set, what is needed.
It's so well said. What's that saying? That when we change I to we, even illness turns into wellness.
Yeah.
So in a time like now, many people feel alone, and it does feel, you know, like an I. The reality is there are tons of tools out there to embrace the we, embrace the all. We are more interconnected than we've ever been, thanks to the internet. And we talk to people around the world every single day through our community. And we'd never speak. We'd never have the chance to speak to.
Yeah, 80 countries plus right now.
It's amazing. And so, you know, you always said that technology without heart is advancement, but technology with heart is evolution. And we're kind of at that precipice of the choice, where we can focus solely on logic, lose the heart and compassion, and advance. But at what cost? The beauty with bringing love into the technology is that we don't lose anything. You can still have all the amazing things that technology offers. It's not an either or. As you said, coexistence literally means and. And so we can embrace technology, but do it from a loving, inclusive, compassionate, connected point that can lift everyone up.
And so getting to the point of wrapping up here and talking about the compassion calisthenics, so we can work out those compassion muscles.
Yes.
Our focus in this tool really is giving kind of a scientific scale, if you will, getting back to like my roots and being able to measure somewhat, not like to that 100% accuracy, kind of going back to some other tools that we've done. It's just like a general scale of, all right, when it comes to self-compassion, because as we talked about, self-compassion is really our ability to be kind enough to ourselves and give ourselves a little bit of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we can do that, then it's easier to be compassionate outside of self.
Yes.
Maybe sometimes we have to start outside of self in order to direct it inward. So the tool walks through that a little bit, and it gives you a scale to understand how compassionate are you to yourself right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then how compassionate are you to others? And then understand, okay, well, where is my point of entry? Where might I best be suited to get my workout going? Is it internally for myself? And here are a few avenues. Or is it externally so that I can be the observer and see my behaviors outside of myself first so that then I can redirect that inward?
Mm.
So it's helpful in that way. And again, as we always say, you know, like here's a base beginning point, a base scale. Here's the information around that for you to start doing your own exploration. We're just going to give you an entry point. And then take it and find what fits for you. Kind of like what tool helps you be most in the present moment, because that'll be different for everyone. This tool gets you through the door to start observing. But then take it, make it your own. And if there are things that you find that really work for you, send them our way so that we can make any adjustments and maybe even discuss them at the end of the month when we go into a more in-depth review of the tool.
Yes.
To help others along the way.
Love it.
Any parting wisdom, my love?
No, I feel like we hit on a lot. And I definitely feel like the guests for this month are going to continue to expand upon compassion from, you know, different generations to different ideologies. It's going to be a really interesting understanding, but I feel like, you know, what would love do? It would listen and learn and grow from the experiences of others. And so I look forward myself to the guests and what they share.
Awesome.
Yeah. How about you, my love?
For me, it would be self-compassion is so important, because we have to live inside of the world we create for ourselves.
Mm.
And we can either make it a prison or we can make it a paradise.
Mm.
And that choice is solely up to us. So if we can hold compassion and gratitude and love and care for ourselves, then it is like creating our own internal paradise. If we go in an opposite direction, then it is like living in a prison. And I've done both. So I know what that's like. And the times when I was very hard on myself and never felt like I measured up. And I had so many people, unintentionally, because it was how their worlds were too, so many people putting their ideas, what they thought I should be, onto me, and I gratefully ate it up with a spoon. It really created bonds and bound me inside my own prison that I had created for myself internally. And it wasn't until I found compassion for myself and self-love and self-care that I released myself from my own prison.
Mm.
So we talk about these things and we give these tools, but each person has to take the key and open their own cell and let themselves out to freedom.
Thank you for sharing that. I love you.
I love you. And thank you for joining us on another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm Amber, here with Austin, kicking off the month's theme of compassion. You can journey over to the Heart Leader Toolbox on suivera.org to download your compassion calisthenics and start working out that compassion for yourself. You can also find lots of other tools and amazing little videos that can help you through if compassion isn't where you feel called to start. There are lots of other places that you might feel drawn and can really capture your attention. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
You've been listening to the Heart Leader Podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.